Would you please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3? I believe it's around page 1166. Hopefully that'll get you in the ballpark. I didn't write the page number down for today. Colossians chapter 3. Actually, I'm going to begin reading, as I often do, just back a few verses to chapter 2, verse 20. And I'm going to read through chapter 3, verse 11. Paul writes this in chapter 2, verse 20 from the New International Version. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teaching. Such regulations, indeed, have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, your life, Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Father, I pray that your word would come alive. Thank you that the Holy Spirit, who was working with Paul, is here with us. And I pray that you would get my attention and all of our attention. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you'll take out your notes, and you'll see in this room to write little bits of information, and then on the back page, there's some questions. These are really important questions. The first question is just a crowd breaker. It's just kind of get people warmed up to talking. The first question is, what restores you in the midst of chaos? I wrote down things like donuts and coffee. If you know me, it's pancakes. Walking really restores me, and things like lakes and rivers and the ocean. This is kind of a freebie. It's a softball question for you. But what is it that restores you? Because now, after you kind of respond to that and get warmed up, now we're going to deal with issues like, what restores you in terms of your relationship with God? The scriptures tell us that we are made in God's image. We're not talking necessarily about a nose and ears and body shape. Jaime, I'm really sorry for the pictures that I took yesterday. I noticed that one. Sorry, that was my iPhone. That was not how Jaime looked, but he's a champ up there on the roof, and did a great job laying down the liquid in spray form. But we were made in God's image, and that means we were made in such a way that we can have a present tense and eternal relationship with God. He fitted us to be able to have his image in us. And that image that is in us is so very valuable to him, and hopefully to us. Made to have this relationship, this ongoing relationship. And God loved that image in us. He loved it as we would turn to him and lean on him and call on him and listen to him and speak to him. He just loves his image in us. And it broke his heart. And we know this in the person of Christ. It broke his heart to see that image not appreciated and trashed, twisted, all because of the sin of the first couple, but because we fall in that same path with our own personal fallen nature. Jesus poured himself out of heaven to restore that image. And the cross is a reminder of how serious God is about restoring that image in every single human being who will turn to him. And this table reminds us of how seriously he would take the restoration of that image in us. Writing to the Colossians, we see Paul writing to all who by faith have received this salvation, and he says to them and to us that we are to be constantly renewed in our knowledge in the image of the Creator. We're going to talk about that today. You'll notice in your notes, these first words in your notes, put to death certain aspects of your earthly nature. I want to just, you might just kind of write as a little aside, this business of putting to death certain aspects of your earthly nature. That is the corrupt, lazy gaze of our soul, which shifts so easily away from him and on things that are, in fact, corrupt. In principle, he's writing to these people, of course, that had died to Christ. Paul wrote this in verse 20 of chapter 2. That's why I wanted to start there. He said, you have died. You've died to your sin in Christ. You know, this image, this, as we have died to that image, and he's talking to these people and saying, now listen, this is what happened. So why should you be sucked back into living with that stuff that's corrupt? Verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. I like these words. You know, certain words just, you know, they might pop out as being so very evident, but sometimes we can read, let's say, in a study Bible, in a even an easy to read commentary, words that might help us understand. And I like the way this was put: make his death to the old life real in everyday practice. Make that death real every single day of your life. You died to that old way of living. Why would you waste your time? Why would I waste my time with that stuff that I said I died to? And then, true to Paul's form, he begins to step on toes. He steps on mine. He may well, and even as we speak of these next few words, they're very difficult words. They're hard to read, because at various points in our life, they could just be really embarrassing. These are the kind of words that we might like to say, I'll use those words, and I'm thinking in my soul, from the depths of my soul, kind of, Lord, you know, or, you know, but you know what I was really thinking. And the Lord clears his throat and says, yeah, I do know. Do you want to be real about this? Do you know who's really listening as you do this? Today we're coming to the Lord's table. And there are people doing this all over the world today. They're coming to the Lord's table. And probably most times, whether you're in a Catholic church or a Presbyterian church or an Episcopal church or a Free church, a Baptist church, a Pentecostal church, you might hear words like, if there's anything between you and a fellow believer, pray God's forgiveness and also speak to them about it. If there's anything between you and God right now, speak to him. Why? Because this table should be, for all of us, a reminder that all of that stuff that might be between us and another human being, or might be between us and God, all of that stuff is the reason why Christ went to the cross. And this is what we remember. This is what we celebrate. This is coming to our mind as to how far God would go for me, for a restored, refreshed relationship with him. So Paul then dares to use these words. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. I mean, those words kind of sting, don't they? Well, they stink because, you know, we live in a corrupt world. But, you know, these words are painfully accurate. The first word that Paul uses for sexual immorality is the word porneia. What does that sound like? Pornography. Yeah, we have a word that springs from that word, the word pornography. But the word is probably far more basic than that. It's talking ultimately about any sexual relationship that is outside of the bonds of marriage. Any sexual relationship that's outside the bonds of marriage. It could be with prostitutes, but it could be something more broadly, referring to something more broadly. I think about the world that I've grown up in, and all the things that were placed before my eyes and before the eyes of my peers, and all the people have followed since then, people that I love and really care for, and the kind of things Paul is going to talk about here, and with the word impurity, which becomes even it's more broadly speaking, but it's sexual uncleanness. And I think of the things that are acted out in front of our eyes, some that are might be explicit, but some that are just innuendos. They're dressed up in the guise of humor, and we snicker, and you know, this is all a little bit on the, yeah, it's a little bit shady, but all of these things, and it begins to whittle us down and involves us. Any overt and even under the surface actions or thoughts that appeal to our basic nature, but are in fact twisting. And it's for those acts. It's for those acts. It's not like, well, sorry, Lord, for just kind of the thoughts, and I'm sorry for that second look, and I'm sorry for that third look or that fourth look. I'm sorry for that persistent look. You know, it's just sorry, 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 sorry. That's no big deal, I guess. It's just, as my mother used to say, Your belly button was just put on the right way. In other words, you're just normal. You're just like any other guy, or you're just like any other woman who would use illicit sex. Call it what it is. Illicit sex to get what he or she really wanted. These things have now brought these opportunities to twist our relationship with God right into our homes, into the hands of our children and grandchildren. A news report comes on about somebody, a report about some person that's in the public eye, and we just quickly I'll just check that out for just a while. And it just takes a minute for us to have this made in the image of God twisted. And it was that image that God wanted to restore. And it is that image that Paul is referring to when he says, be renewed in that image that Christ died for and that you died to. Be renewed in that image. He uses other words like lust. That's the Greek word pathos. Pathos, it's sexual passions or perversions. It's the same thing. Write this scripture down for that word, lust. You can look up where lust will take you and me. This is like the outcome that it leads to. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. And there we get into the issue of God said to his people, you knew me, you refused to honor me as God. You knew that you were made in my image. I said it clearly. Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures and the New. You knew this. You could sense it in your soul. And yet you refused to honor me as God and give thanks. And so God said, okay, go for it. And as people went for it, God gave them up to their sexual lusts and passion. And it turned into all sorts of perversions of a sexual relationship, which was to be between a man and woman only one man, one woman for life. Evil desires. The desire to satisfy ourselves and absolute commitment to do so. Greed. Greed that just, I want more and more. It could be for the look and admiration of someone from the opposite sex. It could be for stuff, just stuff. But he's saying these forms, all greed, I want it for me, is a form of idolatry. And idolatry always sets up one thing against the one who is, that only he can satisfy our souls. And we so casually let go of that relationship to him and trade it for one of these baser, sadly baser things. The second point we talk about is getting rid of evil attitudes and speech. And here he talks about ridding yourself of all these things. He mentions anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lies. He said, get rid of these things. I love what this expression in verse 8. Rid yourselves. That is, stripping these things off. Strip off these filthy garments. Strip off the, or literally, I mean, the expression is disrobe. Get. Now, don't tell me somebody the pastor talked said we were to disrobe, okay? He's talking about just peel these things off. This anger, rage, slander, malice, filthy language, and all those other things. Get rid of these things. Man, I was thinking about how do you get rid of those things? And what's that feel like? Yesterday I spent longer up on the roof than I intended to. But Josiah was with me. His dad Reuben came a little bit later, and we were making some progress up on the roof. But it's hot, it's sunny, and I was filthy, and I had to get back for this dinner, and I wanted to go to Jasmine's game, and you know I could have just gone to the game like I was. I could have just come to the dinner like I was. But boy, it was sure good to go home and get out of those filthy clothes and try to wash some of that paint off my hands. And it just, it feels, doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good to get cleaned up? Isn't that kind of a therapeutic thing? Don't you find that so? Some of you guys don't know the joy of shaving. You don't know the joy of shaving. You thought I was going to say you don't know the joy of getting clean, but no, I'm just talking just to shave. It's just you feel so fresh and cleaned up. I like using a safety razor and lather, and it kind of tingles. And so when I'm reading this, I'm really glad that when Paul says that he uses this expression, rid yourself, get rid of this stuff. This stuff is just. This anger and rage, the anger is like the word Paul uses there is a word for like a slow burn. You're just kind of always angry at something. It might be the stuff you're watching on TV. It might be the fact that you're kind of letting yourself down, not getting everything done that you thought you should get done. It might be that you feel like you're disappointing the people around you, and so you're just... it's kind of a slow burn that you have toward people in your situation. But the next word is that word, flashes of anger. That's rage. Malice being, you're trying literally to hurt other people. And you use it with words. You use it with someone else's reputation. Blasphemy, trying to destroy somebody's reputation. Defamation of character. and then filthy language. Paul says, put these things off, rid yourself of these things, and know the freedom, the absolute joy of stepping into God's presence and into the life and image that He created you in. Do you know the reputation? Do you know that image in you? When you can speak freely to God? How do you get rid of these things? You own it in prayer. You own it. I so appreciated, we went to a conference recently, and it kind of reinforced some words that the Lord had been impressing upon my heart in the study that we've been doing, the guys that I meet with on Wednesdays. And it was referring to how critically important prayer, when we pray, it is to own our own junk. Own up to the sin. Not, Lord, I know I've been a little bit selfish. Lord, I know I've been, kind of a little bit angry at people. Just kind of. Really? Kind of? And God might say, are you going to own this? You're going to, even as you try this business of confession, you're going to try to make excuses? Well, I know, Lord, you know it wasn't all that bad. You know I wasn't filled with all that much malice. You know I wasn't filled with all that much lust. Really? I think God would say, are you serious? Are you going to go that way? Well, Lord, I didn't, I haven't been mistreating people, the people I love, so much. Really? Is that what they would say? Really? Kind of whittling them down and whittling them down till you've broken their spirit? I made you in my image to take care of your family, to take care of your friends, to build people up with your words, not tear them down, to watch every word and not let any filthy or corrupt words come out of your lips that hurt people and sting them. Rid yourself of those things by owning it and crying out to God in fresh tones of mercy, Lord. I need your mercy just to get beyond this moment. Be renewed in the knowledge. Be refreshed in the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Who you are, the knowledge of who you are made in God's image in Christ. Because He let us know how far He would go to restore that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word, for just little words that kind of bore into our souls, reminding us that we need to rid ourselves of that stuff that just hurts and corrupts, hurts somebody else. Words and thoughts that not only hurt other people, but they hurt our relationship with You. I pray, Father, that You would lead us to the table today with a fresh appreciation of how far Jesus went for every one of those, for valuing it this way. Those kind of sins. May we remember that everyone sent Jesus to the cross. We pray this in His name. Amen.